This is Triple H 100.1 FM with Ian Stewart. Good afternoon and welcome to Rotary Matters. Today we continue our exploration of Rotary, what it is, some of the good work that it does, and how Rotarians and non-Rotarians can get involved. Now, we call the program Rotary Matters because, as you'll find out over the next hour, Rotary impacts many lives, many causes, and many concerns locally and all over the world. So each week we bring you an interview to explain and provide insight into a specific Rotary cause or project. Look, it could be with an Australian who's starting a school in Uganda, or an Australian running an orphanage in Ethiopia. Closer to home, we might focus on running a food bank in suburban Sydney, taking disabled children on a jumbo joy flight, or in recognising someone in the community who has gone over and above the call, earning themselves a Pride of Workmanship award. Today's programme takes a look at a project designed to empower women to achieve economic independence by providing a network of support, professional attire, and the development tools to help women thrive in work and in life. Well, no one's going to argue with those goals. It all sounds very worthy, but what is it exactly? So what we're talking about today is a service called Dress for Success. We're going to be meeting Tanya Jackson-Vaughan, who is the CEO of this initiative in Sydney. And a little later, we'll be hearing from Rotarian Sue Hayward. Sue's going to actually then explain the link between Rotary and Dress for Success and ways that the wider community can help in supporting women by sourcing professional clothing and accessories to assist them in applying for work. It's a great story, and I'd urge you to stay tuned as we explore the way that Dress for Success works, what's needed, how and where to donate goods or dollars, and the difference that it can make in securing a job. But look, if you're joining us for the first time, let me just give you a quick refresher, the elevator pitch about Rotary, if you like. Rotary is a worldwide organisation set up over 100 years ago to foster the idea of service above self. Around the world, there are 1.2 million members and 35,000 Rotary clubs in 220 countries. So it's a relatively large organisation. Here in Australia, we've got 30,000 Rotarians, 1,100 clubs, and another 270 over in New Zealand. Now, most Rotary clubs meet once a week, and they donate their time to a range of very worthy local, regional, and international community service projects. So you're going to find Rotarians doing things like fighting disease, such as polio or malaria, providing clean water, sanitation and hygiene, saving mothers and children, supporting education, growing local economies, and promoting peace. And look, locally, you might run into a Rotarian delivering supplies to communities stricken by drought or bushfire. You may come across a student here on exchange from overseas, attending a local school and staying with a local family. Or Rotarians running a fundraising event focused on sending emergency shelter boxes to help communities overseas which have been devastated by natural disaster. In a couple of weeks' time, I'll be doing a special interview all about the shelter boxes. But as I said a few minutes ago, today you're going to be meeting Tanya Jackson-Vaughan, the CEO of Dress for Success, and later on we're going to be meeting Rotarian Sue Hayward. So, this is Ian Stewart. You're on Triple H 100.1 FM, and this programme is Rotary Matters. Now, today, we're going to be joined on the phone because, being COVIDly compliant, we're not allowed to have guests in the studio. We're going to be joined on the phone by Tanya Jackson-Vaughan from Dress for Success. So, let me see if Tanya's there. Tanya, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Ian.
That's great. So, Tanya, if you just give us first a little bit of background, what is, in fact, Dress for Success?
Well, you gave a lovely intro earlier. We are an organisation that is set up to empower women who are experiencing varying degrees of hardship, poverty, discrimination and disadvantage. We hope that they achieve financial independence through becoming employed. And we provide a network of support. Normally, we provide professional clothing where we help people get dressed for that important interview, and if they get the job, they can come back and get a whole week's worth of clothes. And we also provide a holistic suite of career support services, coaching, resume review, and we are powered by volunteers. We have at least 750 passionate and dedicated volunteers. Last year they donated 16,500 hours. To help us achieve our mission, and we work really closely with Rotary.
So, Tania, was it always a whole suite of services, or did it begin purely as clothing suitable for a job interview?
Yes, indeed. The initial beginnings of the organisation, as you can tell by the name of it, was certainly giving people clothes that made them feel ready to present themselves as their best selves, if you like. I think whether a woman or a man, if you feel that, like, you look good, that's half the battle. You can put your shoulders back, walk confidently into a room, and you know, you've already got a head start.
And so how long is it? How long has Dress for Success been going here in Sydney?
So last year we celebrated our 10th anniversary.
And what's the governance structure, Tania? You're the CEO, but is there a governing board, or do you answer to an international body in any way?
So there's a governing board for Sydney, and there are affiliates around the country, and they are dressed for success in various ways. Some of them have different names because they also dress men. We only dress women in Sydney. There is another organisation called Dress for Work that looks after men in Canty, but we have a governing board that I answer to, and then there is a worldwide umbrella organisation, and we're one of the affiliates of that worldwide organisation.
So, Tania Jackson-Vaughan, is it just exclusively in metropolitan areas that you provide the service, or what about people who live way out in the country? Are they able to be serviced at all?
Well, we have what we call a pack and send service, we have forms on our website that people can fill in. Actually, we have forms. People have to ask them for us. People can fill them in, and they're really detailed. It's how tall are you? What colour clothes do you like? Whether you like, trousers and a jacket or a skirt or what have you, what kind of shoes, etc. And people can fill that in, and we have our volunteers, and they will pack up a package, and they will send it off to those women. And importantly, we help many women who have coming out of jail or got a court date. The prisons actually work closely with the women in the organisation. They get them to fill the form in, and we send clothes to the women who are about to come out, because otherwise they leave prison and they don't have any clothes to wear. We also help women in rural and regional areas with this service. And recently, at the beginning of January, we decided to also start helping women who had lost everything in the bushfires, because, of course, people have their houses burnt down and with it their entire wardrobe. And we partnered with a packaging company called Sendal. They were providing discount packaging. So it was a really lovely, and actually Service New South Wales, they provided the referrals in their regional offices. So it was a great partnership. At the moment, we can't do that service because we can't endanger our volunteers. But once we are able to go out into normal everyday world, we'll be rekindling that service, because it's fantastic. And the other thing now is, because we are providing virtual workshops, of course, women all over New South Wales, and in fact all over Australia, can now access our workshops.
So, Tania, is it just clothes, or do you include, shall we say, footwear or any other accessories like handbags?
We provide the top to toe. So you've got jewellery, an outfit, beautiful handbags, shoes, and actually also we have a variety of toiletries, because sometimes women need those as well.
Hello, sorry, Tania, I was on the wrong mic. The question is, are you getting enough donations of what you need, or are you short in some areas?
Well, we unfortunately can't take clothing donations at the moment, because we're just concerned about the virus, and also we're actually all working from home. But normally, we are very happy to take donations of work-appropriate clothing, clothing that you would give to your best friend if you're not going to wear it yourself. We want high-quality clothes that are smart and elegant and fit for wearing to work.
This is Rotary Matters on Triple H 100.1 FM. My name is Ian Stewart. We're talking about a program called Dress for Success with Tanya Jackson-Vaughan, who's the CEO of this initiative here in Sydney, New South Wales. Do people hang on to the clothes once you've given them, or are they expected to return them to you?
No, they can keep them. And actually, it's a lovely point there, Ian. When you tell the women that they can walk away with them, they just light up. Because, of course, they've spent an hour with a stylist getting the right, you know, style of clothes that suit their shape, the colours that they like. And they honestly, the transformation is quite a sight to behold, and it's delightful seeing the look of delight on their faces when they see themselves in the mirror fully, you know, outfitted up, and then realise they can take them home.
That sounds wonderful. So let's fast forward. The coronavirus has passed. You're back open for business. Where would people make a donation of clothes or any other items that you might need?
For clothing donations, we are an under-resourced charity in many ways, so we ask people to come to our Marrickville office and make donations there. We take donations on Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays between 10 and 11:30. The information's on our website, but yes, people can do that. We then take them and sort them out into various shapes and sizes.
So right now, under the COVID restrictions, the workshops that you would otherwise have done face-to-face, how are you handling that?
So the team at Dress for Success have been extraordinary. Within a week, they've contacted all our corporate partners who help us provide these workshops, Page Recruitment, Right Recruitment, LinkedIn, Salesforce, Coty do makeup workshops. They all said, yes, don't worry, we can help you provide these workshops. And we have a Zoom meeting, and we send the Zoom link out to the people that have registered. People can go to our website, register to attend one of our workshops. They can then get it sent a Zoom link. And on the day of the meeting, they click on the link and they get taken in, and there's a number of people, and it's run like any other webinar where there's a facilitator and people being able to interact as the workshop progresses.
And I think off air, Tanya, you mentioned that you can even attend a makeup class through Zoom, is that right?
Yes, it's wonderful actually. We've been given some makeup by I think it was Coty. And so we sent makeup packages out to the women that had registered for the makeup course, so they had makeup to use. And we had someone helping people with how to put interview appropriate makeup on. It was fantastic.
So at the beginning, you mentioned that there was a Dress for Success for Men operated through another agency. Is this something that you're looking to move into yourselves?
No. We feel that we are doing a great job being a specialist organisation helping women, empowering women. And there's a great organisation in Sydney called Dress for Work, and they're doing a wonderful job helping men.
Tanya, congratulations to you. It's a wonderful initiative, and I'm sure it's making a big difference. Are there any one or two cases of people that you believe have been really helped greatly by Dress for Success? Can you tell?
Examples. We actually have a lot of women who are living in Australia who are highly qualified. They have PhDs and masters. The thing is, they don't have that Australian experience. They're from migrant backgrounds, and often they struggle to get work. And recently, in February, we actually had a vacancy for an admin account, an accounts person. And I said, well, why don't we look to see who's in our client group? And the people at Dress for Success put forward a few women's names, and the highly qualified women. One had been an auditor in her home country, the other had worked in mines as an accountant for 10 years or more, Anyway, we interviewed them. They turned up in the outfits that they'd been dressed in, being fabulous, and they interviewed so well because they'd gone through our interview preparation workshop. And it's wonderful that we've got someone working for us as an as our accountant, account admin person, who we've offered their, you know, their first Australian job. We have another woman, Inda, who's been associated with Dressing Success for years. She's currently working on the front line as a nurse. When she first engaged with Dressing Success, she'd escaped two very violent marriages, was a pharmacist in Indonesia, but her qualifications weren't recognised here. She basically went through TAFE, became a nurse, then she got into university, became a registered nurse, and she went from being homeless, living on couches with her three children, to now she owns her own home.
Well, what a fantastic story, Tanya, and congratulations to you and your staff at Dress for Success. So if any of our listeners wanted to pursue this and find out a little bit more about you, is there a website address you could mention?
There is. It's sydney.dressforsuccess.org. And there you can see how you can sign up for programs and job training. You can just scroll down and find the job training button. And, of course, at this time when we haven't been able to have our fashion sales that are a major fundraiser for us, it would be wonderful if people could consider donating to our organisation. We've lost about a third of our income due to COVID, and we would really appreciate being able to continue going strong into the future with the help of people making that financial donation to us.
Tanya Jackson-Vaughan, thank you very much indeed for your time this afternoon, for explaining everything so clearly. It's a wonderful service, and congratulations again to you and your staff for delivering this. And we wish you a speedy recovery from coronavirus and that you can get back on your feet at full strength as soon as possible. It's Ian Stewart. It's Triple H 100.1 FM. This program is Rotary Matters. And in a few minutes, I'll be speaking to Sue Hayward from Rotary, who will explain the Rotary connection to Dress for Success. In the meantime, Tanya, thanks again. Welcome back to Rotary Matters. It's Ian Stewart here on Triple H 100.1 FM. Just before the break, we were listening to Tanya Jackson-Vaughan talking about Dress for Success. But there is a nice tie-up with that program and the work of Rotary. And with me on the line, we have Sue Hayward, a serial Rotarian, who's done a huge amount of very good work as District Governor of Rotary in the area south of Sydney Harbour. And she was on air with me here on Triple H Rotary Matters a little while ago, talking about the Rotary Inspirational Women's Awards. So, Sue, are you there?
I'm here, Ian.
Fantastic. So, Tanya told us what the program is. Can you just explain to us the relationship between Rotary and Dress for Success?
Yes, well, it started, I'd say, about 5 years ago, Ian, and my Rotary Club, the Rotary Club of Sydney Darling Harbour, also known as the Darling. Through my work, I met one of the board members for Dress for Success. And we got talking, and she was explaining how Dress for Success raised money by selling their surplus clothing to the public. And I just thought, this sounds like something that we could do with the Darling. So we arranged our first sale in the city and had great success with that. And we've organised many sales since then. And in fact, the program's growing quite significantly.
So whereabouts in the city did you do your first, is it correct to say a pop-up store?
A pop-up boutique, that's what we called it. So the first one we did in York Street was at the old Bowlers Club in York Street. And we've had another one in the city since then at a place called Brickworks, which is a brick and tile showroom on the corner of Barrack Street and Clarence Street. Both times, hugely successful, had people queuing around the block trying to get into the sale room, and raised a lot of money.
So this was smack in the middle of the CBD, at a time of day, I guess, that was convenient for city office workers.
Yes. So most of the sales in the CBD have started about 4, and we've sold clothes from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock at night, and we hope to capture those women who are leaving work, going home on the way to the station.
So is this just a one-day exercise, Sue?
Yes, it is. It's a three-hour stay. It takes a lot longer than that, of course, to set everything up. But Tanya and the Rotary volunteers do all the packing up of their maritime site, labelling the clothes, pricing them, boxing them, bringing all the equipment on the morning of the sale. And then at the end of the sale, of course, we have to pack everything else that's left and take it back to the warehouse.
So, Sue Hayward, is this confined only to central Sydney, or have you been looking further afield in the wider metropolitan area to provide this service?
Yep, so last year we held two suburban sales. We held one at Lumia, which is down near Campbelltown. That was the first sale that they had. They had it on a Saturday, so we set up on the Friday night. I had the sale from, I think it was 11 o'clock until 2, and then we packed up and went home. And the same thing happened at Gynea, which is down near Cronulla, and we did the same sort of thing there. And both of those sales raised a lot of money.
So Lumia, Gynea and the city centre, is the range of merchandise tuned at all into the demographic of those areas where the pop-up stores are held, or do you take pretty much the same inventory to each location?
Yes, look, you know, women wear smart clothes to fancy events and they wear business clothing to work and they wear other more casual clothing in the rest of their lives, and it doesn't really matter where you live, we all use those sorts of items. So there's a variety of things. There's winter jackets and leather coats and fancy shoes and jewellery, all sorts of things that we sell.
So when is the next one likely to take place? I mean, assuming COVID is over.
We were supposed to have one again down at Lumia in April and in Pioneer in August, and then another one planned for November for the CBD at the Customs House. So the last one that we had was at the Customs House last year in November, and again we sold clothes from 4 o'clock in the evening till 7 o'clock at night. We raised in $23,000 in those 4 hours. About you, but I've done many Bunnings barbecues, and the thought of raising $23,000 in a day at a barbecue, wouldn't we just rejoice at that?
No, that is a fantastic return on investment of time. Luckily, of course, you had the Dress for Success people to help you with the merchandising and the display and the pricing and the packaging and so on. The next one, I mean, the date is unknown, of course, yeah?
Well, it's supposedly at the end of November for the city. Mm-hmm. And we're just looking at rescheduling the others because we just obviously can't have them at the moment.
Okay, so Sue Hayward, as I mentioned at the beginning, you're a past district governor of a very large district of Rotary clubs that lie south of the harbour, and of course you're attached to the Darling Harbour Rotary Club itself. May I ask, how long have you yourself been involved in Rotary, and indeed, when did your journey start?
Well, I've been a Rotarian for about 25 years. I joined Rotary initially in Adelaide, and one of my husband's clients rang us one day and said, "Sue, can I pop down and speak to you and Mike about Rotary?" And I said, "Yes, certainly." So I hung up the phone and my husband said, "Who's that?" I said, "It's Doug Lang, and he wants to come and talk about Rotary." And he said, my husband said, "What's that?" And I said, "You know, I've heard of them. I've heard of it, but I don't know exactly what they do." So Doug popped down, had a cup of tea and explained what Rotary was all about, at which point my husband turned to me and said, "I think this is something you'd be interested in." And he was right. I was. The more I learned about Rotary, the more I realised that it aligned closely with my own personal values. And so I decided to go along to some interest meetings for a new club that was being formed. Went along for several weeks and we had enough people to form a new club. And we started to fill the positions on the board. And every week our mentors would say, "Now look, we've got to fill all these positions," and we did get all the positions filled except for one. President. And I was determined at first that I would not take any role in the organising of this. I was really busy with child, school, work, life, you know. But after about 3 or 4 weeks, every week I'm complaining, I did the wrong thing and stayed behind and said to our mentor, "So what do you have to do as president?" Ah, that's it. Nothing much, just run the meeting. We'll be there to help with anything else. Oh, I said, I can run the meeting. So hence I became the first female charter president in the Southern Hemisphere.
Explain to our listeners that Sue Hayward, who we're talking with this afternoon, in fact, professionally, is an MC and a celebrant of funerals and perhaps marriages too, Sue. Is that right?
Yes. I don't do so many marriages now. I'm concentrating on funerals.
You'll be busy at the moment, I assume.
Well, let's hope we don't have too many funerals due to this coronavirus. Hopefully not.
Sue, congratulations to you for your initiative in working with the Dress for Success project, and all the very best of luck with your pop-up stores. Where will people be able to find out more about the pop-up stores?
Well, certainly on the Rotary District 9675 website. That's a very good spot. There will be updated information as we set the dates, as we go out of lockdown and we're able to set the dates.
So will you let me know when they're coming up, and I'll be very glad to publicise them through the Rotary Matters radio programme.
Certainly. I'd love to, yes.
Okay, Sue Hayward, I'll let you go. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon. It's lovely to catch up with you again. And maybe we can get you back later in the year, hopefully, to talk a little bit more about Dress for Success, but also the next round of the Rotary Inspirational Women's Awards. Would that be okay?
Love to, yes.
Okay, that was Sue Hayward, our guest this afternoon. It's Ian Stewart. You're on Triple H 100.1 FM.